Appreciate the prayer and ask your continued interest in your prayers, as we always do. If you'd like to turn with us to our text, you'll find it today in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. While you're turning to our text, I'm going to start around verse 16. While you're turning to that, does anyone ever need does everyone ever feel any need to be renewed in the Spirit? Good. I'm glad you feel that way. Maybe this message will have some relevance, some meaning. You know, we've recently talked about Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where a lot of the battle happens, isn't it? Not that it's imaginary, but that those things that influence our mind influence our behavior. And so we need to keep filling it with the good things, don't we? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 16, and there's about three verses there I want to deal with, but grammatically you notice that verse 16 says, "For which cause?" Now, if you understand what he's saying is, he's already given us some reasons for this, and Lord willing, we're going to back up a little bit in a little while and notice some of those reasons. But I need to jump in here somewhere, and I don't have time to deal with the whole chapter. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. "For which cause we faint not." We'll pause right there and ask a question. Kind of like I did Wednesday night for our Bible study. It was Thursday night, wasn't it, for our sing. "For which cause we faint not." Did anybody come here today to get discouraged? Now raise your hand if you. I'd like to talk to you after service. We didn't come here to get discouraged. We didn't come here to give up in our discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So, I didn't see any hands, so unless somebody was just didn't want to raise their hand, I think we're agreed here that we didn't come here to learn how we could faint along the way in our discipleship of the Lord. We want to be built up, don't we? We need to be encouraged. We want to be strengthened. We want to have our mind renewed. We want to get whatever we can to help us so that we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind. All right? Okay. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." By the way, when he says, "For which cause we faint not," we didn't come here to get discouraged. But let's balance that point before we move on. There are times when the Holy Spirit convicts us, right? I mean, when you're reading the Word of God, and like we've said a number of times, sometimes you might be reading something and it really steps on your toes. It convicts you. And you might be tempted to turn quickly over to the 23rd Psalm and read it so that you could feel better. But what we need is the truth of God's Word, so that if there is anything that convicts us, it's not because the Holy Spirit hit a wrong note. It's because we are living a wrong note. And that needs to be in harmony with the Holy Spirit if we're going to experience joy and peace. So we didn't come to get discouraged, but there are times when we need to be instructed, right? Okay, so just because we feel like that the Word is instructing us, and it may come at times with a twinge of conviction, that's when we need to pay attention to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and find out why that is, and have an understanding of something that, if there's anything that we can correct in our lives, that would help us along those lines, because until we do, we're still going to be at odds with the Holy Spirit. All right. But this, these reasons that he's already given us to keep us from fainting not are those things that will help us to be better able to face and to handle the frustrations that are going to come in life. Right? In the world you shall have tribulation. Right? Okay. I trust that there's not a soul here today that hasn't had some kind of tribulation this week. And if you're thinking clearly, you realize that sometime next week you're going to have some more. Might even be some of the same kinds of things. You know, some things just kind of hang around, don't they? All right? But if we can be renewed in the spirit of our mind, if we can be renewed in the promises of God and the mercy of God and the love of God and the peace of God and all that he gives us in his word, then it will strengthen us and help us to face those frustrations that come upon us. All right? So he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." You know that's happening? Every day. It's happening. From the Garden of Eden, it's been happening. Remember when God told Adam, "Thou shalt not eat of this tree, but on the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And in the marginal reference of my Bible, it says, "In dying, thou shalt die." In other words, that process of dying is working in us all the time. You know, we try to exercise, we try to eat good, we try to take things that will help us to combat some of that, but it is still going on. And someday, if the Lord delays his coming, it's going to take its toll, and we're going to lie down in death. The outward man is perishing. Now, when you're young and vigorous, you don't think too much about that. But later on, you get a few years on you, and some things start bringing it up. The outward man is perishing. Sin is taking its toll. Now, that perishing manifests itself in several ways, but I'll just kind of touch on two. One of them is sin working in our bodies. These bodies are perishing. Do you know that? If you don't feel it yet, you'll hang around. You will. Okay? It's perishing. Just because of what I've already said. Because of sin and because of what it's doing in our bodies. But then we also have things from outside. You know, this world's a lot more polluted than it used to be. You know, it's taking its toll. Well, there's just all kinds of things. And then there's new threats to us today that, you know, we never imagined would be in our country. But things are changing drastically, aren't they? I mean, these are real threats. And so there's times when those threats take people's lives. You know, we live in a fallen world. We're fallen beings. Bad things do happen to good people. It's not because God caused that to happen. Not at all. But because God is so good all the time, and when bad things do happen to us, we still have a good God who is merciful and who is loving that we can call upon for the help we need to get through it. I cringe when people hear about something bad happening to somebody and they say, "Well, something good will come out of it." Well, it may not. But like I said, God is so good that we can cling to him, and he will help us get through it. Now, if you want to say, "Well, that's what I'm talking about," well, anyway. All right? Though the outward man perish, there is that principle that we have to realize, that the outward man is perishing. But that's not all we have if we are born of the Spirit of God. Keep reading. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Aren't you glad of that? As we make our way in this world, we've got help that we need. Though this body, this tabernacle that we're going to talk about in a little bit, this tabernacle of clay, this earthen vessel, it's perishing. Life is taking its toll. Sin is taking its toll upon us every day. But thanks be unto God, that's not all we have. There's an inward man. There's a new creature in Christ. If we have been born of the Spirit of God, if we have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, we have an eternal life in us that's not of us, but came from outside of us, and it came from God. And God has given us that to help us as we go through the perils of this life. All right? So when he says, for though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you know the Apostle Paul was no stranger to sufferings? If you read the scriptures, the life, the travels, the ministry, the Apostle Paul, and how the Lord used him mightily, you know that afflictions abide. He said on one occasion, afflictions abide me. In other words, he knew that wherever he went, there was a really good chance that he would have to suffer afflictions by being faithful to Christ. Idolatry was rampant. There was just so many things that would be against the gospel of Christ, against the truth. And so we find that as Paul went about, he understood that afflictions was a regular part of what he had to experience day by day. Has that been your case? Do you understand that for yourself? Do you understand your life will continue to have those things? Well, can you handle it on your own? Do you think you'll ever get to the point where you can handle it by yourself? You don't need the Lord anymore? Certainly the Apostle Paul didn't feel that way. Over in Philippians chapter 4, let's listen to a couple of verses that Paul spoke about there. He says, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul said, whatever condition. He's not talking about a locality. He's talking about a condition. Whatever state, whatever condition he was in, he's learned. Have you learned that? Are you learning that? How to be content, whatever the circumstances might be? Now, if we're bringing trouble upon ourselves, there's something we can do about it. But there's times when trouble comes upon us, and it's not something that we've done, but it's just something we have to endure. But bless your hearts, God is faithful. All right? So he says, therewith to be content, for I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Paul knew what it was like to be abundantly blessed, and he knew what it was like to be bobbing in the water after a shipwreck. He knew what it was like to be laying there with his stripes bleeding and hurting because of the beating that he'd just taken. He knew what it was like to be laying on the ground and be taken for dead because of the stoning that they had done to him. He knew what that was like. But he also knew how to abound in blessings. And listen, he says, everywhere And in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then the next verse is probably familiar to most of us. A lot of people claim this verse and think that good things will just always come to them and that they could just accomplish anything. But sometimes that attitude leaves the Lord out of it. But he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. What did he say? I can do all things? Yes. He said, I can do all things. But that's based upon the fact that he's depending upon the Lord to strengthen him to do it. And if we're facing difficulty in life, then that's the attitude we're to have. Not that we can find some magic formula so that we can do anything we want to, but that if we lean and depend upon the Lord and ask him for the strength that we need, then we can have assurance that if we're leaning and depending upon him, he'll give us the strength to do whatever is his will for us to do. Now, we may be wanting to do something that it's not his will. And so he's not going to strengthen us in that. But if we're leaning and depending upon him and looking to him for what we need, then he will bless us according to his will. So Paul was not a stranger to the sufferings that come upon us. He understood that the outward man perishes, but the inward man. He also understood how that the inward man can be renewed day by day. And so when Paul was inspired to write those verses to us out of the book of Philippians, it's to encourage those that are suffering in this world. You know, when things are going great, there's not a whole lot that you need to encourage somebody about, is there? Okay? So when you read these passages, you understand that the Spirit knew that there were going to be times when things weren't going so well. There were going to be times where we're going to be challenged. There are going to be times when life is just going to be hard. But nothing is too hard for the Lord. And the sooner we lean and depend upon him, the sooner we cleave to him with purpose of heart, the better we'll be able to face what we're facing at whatever time those things come upon us. Jesus taught us, remember, in the model prayer, remember he said, give us this day, what? Our daily bread. Well, why didn't he just give us a truckload and we'll be done with it for a while? I know you've wanted that, haven't you? You've wanted that. But God, in his wisdom, taught us. And if we've learned the lesson, we understand that every day we need to say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Now, whenever I read that, my mind always goes back to the manna that fell in the wilderness. Remember that? And I've kind of lightheartedly recently made the point of, you know, it wasn't rye bread on Monday and oats on Tuesday and sourdough on Wednesday. It was the same thing every day. Now, they may have had variations in the way they prepared whatever they had, but God provided that basic necessity for them every day. Even in their disobedience, in God's mercy, the manna fell. Isn't God good? Oh, so we think about the fact that even though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man, God has provisions for the inward man to be renewed day by day. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount, let's see, Matthew 6, I believe it's verse 34. The outward man perisheth. That word perisheth. We find it in other places, and I don't have to go to all of those places when it says the same thing every time. But in Matthew chapter 6, in verse 19, let's see, 6:19, he says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth what?
Corrupt.
Corrupt. Moth and dust." In other words, for a natural garment, if the moths were to get to it, what would they do to it? I hear somebody say, "Eat it up." Yeah. So it's going to be little by little, right? Perisheth. That process of being less and less, little by little. That's kind of the way we're perishing. You know, sometimes tragedy happens. Our life may be snuffed out in an instant. But for the most part, it's little by little, day by day. The outward man is perishing. All right? Now jump over to the end of that chapter, Matthew chapter 6. After he tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things, the food, the clothing, the things that we stand in need of, that the Lord knows that we need, and if we're seeking first the kingdom of God, he's pleased to give us those provisions. Right? Okay. Then he says, verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Don't worry about tomorrow. "For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." What is he saying? You're going to have enough to deal with tomorrow without adding it to your worries today. Now, he's not saying don't ever plan anything. He's not saying, you know, we can't make provisions or whatever. But as far as just the day-to-day tasks and the things that we have on our mind and in our heart, we need to be trusting the Lord for the daily bread we need and not worrying about what we're going to have tomorrow, but be focused upon pleasing the Lord today. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, part of what he's saying there is that daily need, if we need that daily bread, that supposes, or there's the suggestion there, if we need daily bread, there's a daily need, right? I mean, that's just basic. But if we think about the daily need, all right, what does that tell us about these bodies? The outward man perisheth. That daily bread, if we asked for it yesterday and the Lord blessed us with it, and we made use of it. But then he tells us to have to come back again and ask again. That tells us that we've used up yesterday's blessings. Okay? So, we made a trip the last couple of days, and not far into the trip, I stopped and filled up my car with gas. Then yesterday when we got home, I noticed it was about the same place it was when we left initially. Now, does that mean that I didn't use anything? No. But it was used up. And it's going to need replacing. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God knows what we need. And he supplies our needs. He is pleased to supply our needs. But he doesn't give us a truckload for what we need for one day. All right? And there may be times when he blesses you with something, but he knows you're going to need it eventually. All right? So the idea is that we use up blessings, that we need to be refueled, that we need to be renewed. And you know what that does? It keeps us coming back to where the renewal is provided. So for the outward man, we keep coming back to the trough, don't we? All right? But for the inward man, that natural food doesn't cut it, does it? For the inward man, we need to keep coming back to the Lord, don't we? And you know, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and when the Lord chose to feed them with manna, and he chose that it would fall every day, except the Sabbath, you know, the pattern. All right? God chose that, and he suffered them to hunger, so that they would realize that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. We need to keep coming back to the Lord for the blessings that we need each day. The outward man is perishing. We take care of that. But the inward man, God has provisions for that inward man to be renewed day by day. Isn't God good? So we faint not. Now what happens if you don't keep going back to the Lord? That inward man's going to get weak. That inward man's likely to perish or faint. All right? All right, so what the Lord has designed for us in following him will not only teach us to recognize the fact that we need to take care of this outward man, but we also need to take care of the inward man. All right? Now, because we are going to face tribulations, we are going to have times when we're going to need the wisdom of God. Okay? And if we've been applying ourselves to going to him in prayer and seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit and reading his word to try to understand it better so that we can be stronger, so that we can have a better understanding of how that we need to do the things that are our responsibility here in this life, then little by little, day by day, the Lord will bless us to strengthen our understanding and to strengthen that inner man, inward man, as he calls it here, so that we can better handle the problems and the challenges that we'll face in the days ahead. There might be something you get today or tomorrow in your reading or a thought that the Lord impresses upon your mind and your heart in prayer. There might be something that he gives you now. You might not need it immediately, but you may need it in the near future. So we just have to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing in nurturing us, but we need to keep coming back to him and asking him for the blessings we need, because we're the outward man is perishing, and what we sufficient unto today is the evil thereof. So we need to keep coming back to him. All right? Verse 17. For our light affliction. Now somebody might say, well, preacher, you don't know my problems. They're not light. I understand. But when we get into this verse, we see that what he's going to say is, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. All right? The point is, it's not a matter of how bad the affliction is right now. It's the fact that it is temporary. That's what makes it a light affliction. When you compare that to eternity, even though it may have been an affliction for your entire lifetime, still compared to eternity, it's nothing. All right? So he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, all right? Which basically, he's saying it's temporary. Okay, sometimes we use the word temporal. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, at this point, when we understand that he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. At this point, let's go back and take a look at some of those reasons why he says that we faint not. Because that will help us to understand how he could say that the afflictions of this life are just temporary, but those things are working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It's not making heaven any better. Let's just get that idea out of the way. It's not making heaven any better, but it'll help you to see heaven now better. It'll help you to look forward to heaven better now. That's the kind of thing that is working in us. All right? So, if we back up a little bit in this chapter, we think about when he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. When we began reading in verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not. What are some of the things that God has given us that will help us not to faint in our following the Lord, even in the midst of our afflictions? We could go back to the whole chapter, but let me go back to verse 7 to start with. All right, Paul's been talking about the gospel, the light that shined in our heart to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, the face of Jesus Christ. If we've been blessed to know him, if we've been blessed to be able to see him by faith and to understand who he is and what he's done for us, Paul says in verse 7, we have this treasure. And it is a treasure, isn't it? If God has blessed us to know him, if God has blessed us to know that Jesus has died to save us from our sins, and if we have a hope in that, then bless your hearts, that's a treasure, isn't it? It's a treasure that's greater than anything else you could have in this world. That's a treasure. And we need to cherish it. All right? Now, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. First of all, that earthen vessel is of this world. And it's not something that can be in glory. This vessel is going to have to be changed. And bless your hearts, that's our hope, isn't it? That when Jesus comes again, that he'll raise the dead, he'll change those that are alive and remain, which means that all of us will have a body that's incorruptible and undefiled, okay? Or immortal, incorruptible and immortal. And we'll be taken home. All right? We have this treasure, this hope, this glorious gospel, these truths, that which feeds our soul each day. We have this in earthen vessel, and this earthen vessel is perishing day by day. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, as we're blessed to understand that we need the Lord every day, and as the Lord blesses us with those things that we need every day, then we realize that it's not because of these bodies, it's not because of anything we've done, it's because God has been so good in blessing us and providing for us. The excellency of the power is of God. We need him to renew this inner man every day, don't we? It's of God that we're blessed. It's not because we're so good. It's not because we've figured it out. It's not because of anything about us. It's about the goodness and mercy of God. We have this in earthen vessels. All right, so that's the first reason that we shouldn't faint not. We can keep going back to the Lord. We can keep asking Him. And I know sometimes folks express the idea that they feel like they're wearying the Lord with their requests. I don't believe God's people with a sincere request have ever wearied the Lord. It pleases Him for us to go to Him, realizing that we need Him and His help. It pleases the Lord. So first of all, we have this treasure, an earthen vessel. All right, the next two verses. We are troubled on every side. Listen, there's reasons why we faint not. But Paul is acknowledging the fact that we're troubled on every side, he says, yet not distressed. You had some troubles this week? If you didn't have any this week, did you have any last week? You know that the longer you live, there's going to be something that's going to trouble you in some way. But there's no reason for us to faint. There's no reason for us to give up. There's no reason for us to think that things are all over, because we can keep going back to the Lord and asking Him, and He'll strengthen us for the things that we stand in need of each and every day that comes. And so even though we're troubled, we're not distressed. Yet we are perplexed, but not in despair. Sometimes life doesn't make sense, does it? Some things happen that you just wonder, Lord, why is this happening? And I know that, you know, it's not right to complain to the Lord, but I'm going to tell you something. This old flesh, when things happen, you're going to cry out, God, why? It's just going to happen. Before you can get yourself together at times, it's just going to happen that way. We're perplexed sometimes with the problems we're faced with, but we shouldn't be in despair. If we keep in memory that God is there for us, that He's helping us, and just like the Hebrew children, He didn't keep them from going into the furnace, did He? He delivered them through it. And He can do the same thing today. He can continue to provide for us whatever furnace of affliction we're going through. He can continue to help us and strengthen us as we go through it each day. He says, persecuted. This is carrying more meaning nowadays, isn't it? I'm sure you've heard, or I hope you've heard, or maybe if you haven't, I'll tell you. That incident in Moore, Oklahoma, where someone was just beheaded, like those folks have been threatening to do in this nation. It's starting to happen. When we read about persecution, when we think about Christians having been persecuted, when we think about that, it's starting to have a whole new meaning for us, because it's starting to happen here. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but we need to be realizing that in the face of persecution, we can still trust God. What did Job say? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. If somebody should take our life, that would be a tragedy. But for us, we'd awaken the presence of the Lord anyway. It would be harder to see it happen to one of your family. It would be harder to know that it's happening to others in our nation. Maybe it hasn't gotten to us, but, you know, just... We've not had to think about things like that before. Bless your hearts, these verses in the Scripture are coming alive to us now, aren't they? Because we realize that it's at our door. And so if persecution gets closer and closer, Paul said, persecuted, but not forsaken. The Lord is not going to forsake us. He's here for us every day. Just keep that in memory so that you faint not. Paul knew something about persecution. We don't know anything about it, you know, except what we've read. Okay? But the Lord inspired a man that suffered that for the cause of Christ. And who knows but what we may have to suffer that as well. Are you ready? Nope. We're never going to be ready for that, are we? But if we can have our mind prepared to know that even if we're facing things such as that, God is still there for us, for we are not forsaken. All right, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Oh, bless your hearts. They may destroy this earthen vessel, but they won't destroy our soul, right? Our trust is in the Lord. All right, so verses 8 and 9 give us another reason why, even though we're troubled and in distress, we're not destroyed. All right, verse 10. Always, again, now all of these things are reasons that Paul gave us before he said, for which cause we faint not. All right, verse 10. Let's see, we'll get 10 through 12. Always, now that ought to be a clue right there. You got to keep this in memory. You got to remember these things. You got to be thinking along these lines. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. When you think about Jesus died for us, we don't like the fact that he had to die. But when you understand why he died, does that help you? Does that help you to understand that our life that we hope to have when this world is over is because Jesus died for us? For no other reason. Had he not died for us, we'd have no hope of heaven. But he died for us, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. One of the things I'm persuaded that Paul is telling us is, don't forget it. Think about it every day, always bearing about in the body. Whatever we might have to face, whatever we might have to suffer, remember what Jesus had to go through for us. Life may be hard right now, but it's not worse than what Jesus had to suffer. We'll never have to face what he suffered. I suppose it's possible that the physical affliction that he endured could be matched. But God then poured his wrath upon his son. And we cannot, we could not endure what he endured for us in those 3 hours of darkness upon the face of the earth while he was there on the cross. Always bearing about. That ought to give you reason to be encouraged. That ought to give you reason not to faint in our discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ and being faithful to him. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, he died. Yes, he died, and we hate that he died, but what we understand that he accomplished in his death, bless your hearts, we rejoice in it because he's not dead any longer. He said in Revelation, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. So even though we think about the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the fact that he's no longer dead. And we ought to live like it. Every day we ought to face our tribulations and troubles with that strength from within us and the inward man, knowing that he died, but he lives again. And he lives again because he died for us. And because he lives, we shall live also. I tell you, that ought to lift your spirits every time you think about it. We serve a risen Savior, don't we? We love to sing that song. I serve a risen Savior. Bless your hearts, we ought to live like it. People ought to be able to just look at you and see something of Christ in your demeanor, if nothing more than the countenance on your face. That we can have joy in the midst of tribulations. That we can continue to have, I'm not saying you'll be happy. I'm saying there can be a joy in your heart. There could be a contentment. There could be a peace. There could be a settled confidence in you, even in the midst of tribulation, even if you're being persecuted, even though many of the problems that face many people are coming upon us. Because we remember that Jesus died for us and rose again. And that is the basis of our being raised again. And he goes on to say that, For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Delivered unto death. We're supposed to deny ourselves each day. Take up our cross. Isn't that what Luke told us? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, when you read it in Matthew said of it, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. But when you read that same account in Luke, it says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Every day, we need to remember to deny ourselves and say, Lord, thy will be done. Die to self. And seek to find the Lord and the leadership of His Holy Spirit. So that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Even though we've got these earthen vessels. Bless your hearts, we need to be showing forth the love of God, the mercy of God, doing those things which we know is pleasing to God. Whatever we're doing, realizing that it may be having to be done in the midst of persecution. But whatever the case might be, we need to show forth Christ in our lives. Now, I didn't hear a single amen. You still with me? You know, I pray as we've gone through these lessons, keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy, looking at those things that we need to be adding to our faith. And I go home wondering, how many is going to do it? Will anybody do it? Is this wasted time? Are we studying this so that Christ can come forth from our lives every day? I think we're all agreed that that's what this world needs. We need to see more evidence of Jesus Christ in the lives of His people. I'm afraid that's why the church has lost such of its influence in this country, is because God's people look like everybody else. And they're doing things that everybody else is doing. We need to see more of Christ in our lives. We need to humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, teach me how I could show forth your love to others. All right? So he says in verse 12, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. Paul, as the apostle of the Lord going about, he had to suffer so many things, but he was doing those things so that he could teach people, encourage God's people, and bless them to help have a better understanding of what they need to be doing so that they could enjoy the more abundant life that's available to God's children while we go through the afflictions here, while we wait for our deliverance to glory, where we'll never have any more struggles or heartaches ever. Our light afflictions, they're just temporary. They may be hard, they may be heavy for us to bear, but they're temporary. They're going to come to an end. Verse 13, another reason. We, having the same spirit of faith. You know, that ought to be encouraging to us right there. That as we realize that we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And that there's things the Lord would have us to do. And as we go about making our way in this world, and we see others doing the same thing, we may not have any idea what their doctrinal position is, but if we can see Christ in their life, If we can see that they're trying to honor the Lord, the same faith that's enabling them to do that is what's working in you. I tell you, it is encouraging, isn't it, to see others that love God as you go through life. Sometimes we're in a situation where we're around a bunch of people that there's no evidence that they love God. But what a blessing it is when we can see some evidence in somebody. But even if we don't see it in anybody, may they be able to see it in us. Maybe we're the one that God has put there in that place to shine forth some light in a dark place. You know, I had a work situation one time like that. I just begged the Lord to bless me to find a job with some Christian people so I could work around good folks all day and have those good thoughts all the time. And it just seemed like He impressed upon my mind that He wanted a light in a dark place. And so I tried to do the best I could while I was there. Now, He delivered me from it eventually. But that may be your lot right now. May God bless you to be a light in a dark place. May you show forth Christ. May the life of Christ come forth from you. We have in that same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. We have the leadership of the Holy Spirit and we have the Word of God. And those two things, reading the Word of God on a daily basis and listening for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we get so busy, we go about our day, we pack our schedule so tight, we don't leave any room for the Lord and we're not listening for anything He has to say. We might mumble a few words in a quick prayer and go about our business, but we need to be listening for the leadership of the Spirit. Lord, what would you have me to do? Do you suppose that you'd be doing more things to encourage others if you just took a few minutes every now and then to stop and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? He loves that kind of a prayer. He's quick to answer that kind of prayer. He'll put an opportunity right in the front of your face. If we listen to the leadership of His Spirit, if we're reading His Word, thus it is written. We need that to help us, to encourage us, every day. Verse 14. Another reason. And this connects with the last one still. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. That same spirit of faith. Those that are walking by faith, those that are trying to do what's pleasing unto them, God's going to raise us all up. Because He has already died for us. Jesus died for us. He's coming back to get us because God has chosen us all in Him. Now I'm talking about those that are following the leadership of the Spirit, those that have the Spirit, those that have faith, those that are doing those kinds of things. Bless your hearts, He's going to raise us all up together. Take us home to be with Him forever. Isn't that encouraging to remember that day's coming? No matter what we have to face now. All right. All right, now we get to another. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace. Listen, all of what God provides for us each day is for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. All right? We need to be careful to let others see Christ. All right? And when they see it, if they know what they're looking at, they may glorify God because of what we've done. And He says that it may redound. That means to superabound. Oh, if we could just have the glory of God coming forth, the praise of God coming forth, because there's so many of God's people that are walking in the light of His Word and following the leadership of the Spirit and doing those things that are pleasing to Him. Oh, wouldn't you love to just see a manifestation of a multiplication of those things? Well, we have that opportunity to be a part of it every day. All right? So that it, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. All right, for all of these things that we've talked about, for which cause we faint not. All of those things are working. God is using those things to be an encouragement to us as He provides for us each day. All right? So then when we get down, we stopped at first part of 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. All right? And we looked at those reasons that He'd already given us not to faint, that which make up this light affliction that we have to endure each day. This temporary, it may be heavy, but it's to us right now, but it's temporary. All right, and that's why it's spoken of as being light. All right, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Let me ask you a question. Is it senseless? You know, there's sometimes things happen and we think, well, like the thing in Moore, Oklahoma. It's senseless, isn't it? I mean, to some extent, it's just, there's no reason for that. All right? But when we see those things, and in some respects, there's just no reason for it, how it affects us should be to cause us to turn our heart and our mind to the Lord and say, Lord, we live in a fallen world. There's things happening that's beyond our control. I need Your help and blessing. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice that He's not saying this, its glory is followed. It's not just followed by these things. It's working something. There's an effect that it ought to have on us. There's something that we need to take note of and cause us to cling to the Lord more tightly. It's not just wait around, it's going to get better later. No, as we face these afflictions right now, may it cause us to cleave to the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? If it'll cause us to realize our need of the Lord in a better way, isn't that good? All right. Again, I'm not saying now that, you know, just when something bad happens and folks say, well, something good will come out of it. It's not because God made that to happen so that something good could come. But God is so good all the time that even when we're facing these tribulations and troubles and heartaches and trials and things that just don't make sense, He is still good. We can cleave to Him and He will supply our need. It's working for us. Working in us. Working for us. Working among us. Wherever the Spirit of God is working, wherever we have the knowledge that we need the Lord, worketh for us what? Well, it's helping us if we're viewing it in the right way. Now, I know that there's times that things happen and folks get bitter. Folks get angry with the Lord and their mind is so clouded, they're not thinking the way they should. They get angry with the Lord and they turn away. And they would be lumped into the class of those that faint. But when we've got our mind upon the Lord and all that He's doing for us, then we should faint not. He's given us reasons to understand that there's every reason to hold on and be faithful to Him and continue to let that light shine from within us and do what we can, no matter what we're having to face each day. Our light affliction, but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Notice this verse contrasts some ideas. You've got light affliction. Then later he speaks of a weight of glory. All right? He's showing us these afflictions. Again, the sense of the light here is not that they're not terrible, but that they're temporary. You might say, when he says, but for a moment, you might say momentary. And that's in the light of eternity. All right? So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight. Weight. When we understand that these things help us to get nearer to the Lord and cleave to the Lord and hold on to Him, these things become weightier, don't they? When we, if it'll bless us to have a clearer view of our Lord, if it'll bless us to have more understanding of how He has blessed us and how He provides for us, you know, I suspect all of you can think back over your life and find some affliction that you were delivered through it. Maybe you were delivered from it. Maybe you were delivered through it. Either way, you experienced the deliverance. The next time affliction comes, do you stop and think, why me? You know, that's a common, for the natural mind, that's a common thing to say, why me? But what we ought to be doing is looking how God has delivered us in the past and say, Lord, you delivered me then. I trust that you'll deliver me now. Isn't that what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1? God which doth deliver, you know, he hath delivered, he doth deliver, and he said, I trust he will yet deliver us. And he was talking about those tribulations and persecutions that he had been through. And God had blessed him to come through each one. And if we would think about those things along those lines, it will help us not to faint. We need to be refueled every day, don't we? Coming to the Lord. You know, not just the outward man, but the inner man is what's most important. Keep coming back to the Lord every day. Verse 18. We're about done. Ooh, time's gone, isn't it? Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. What is he talking about? Things that are seen. All those things we've been talking about, all those troubles, all those afflictions, all those distresses, all those things that we have to experience every day, we look upon those things, don't we? We see it happening in our life. But if we're going to be faithful to the Lord, we're not going to focus on those things. Because you focus on those things, it's going to drag you down. We're not going to focus on those things. While we look not at the things which are seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Momentary. The light afflictions. Okay? But the things which are not seen are temporal. I'm sorry, eternal. Let me read that verse again. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we look at faith, it's not something we can see, but we can see the evidence of it, can't we? Isn't it encouraging to you to see faith being manifested in the lives of others? How much is our faith encouraging someone else? Don't you love to see evidence of faith? Don't you love to see it being lived out? Don't you love to see evidence of love for God in the lives of others? You can't see love. You can see how it acts. You know, we went through 1 Corinthians 13. It tells us how it manifests itself. But those are the kinds of things that God gives us each day to strengthen us and to help us through these afflictions that we face every day. Not looking at the afflictions, not looking at the suffering, not looking at the heartaches and the troubles, but looking to God who can strengthen us and give us what we need as we continue to go to Him every day to be refueled so that the inner man can be renewed day by day. May God bless you, is our prayer.